Electricity. As lightning, it's a force that streaks frightfully unchecked across the skies. As a tool harnessed by mankind, it's a force that can be used, controlled for our own devices. Air conditioning, for instance, one of my personal favorites. Refrigeration, most essential and domestic conveniences that we take much for granted these days. Of course, the needs of man are not always attuned to our pleasure or utility. At times, our circumstances or baser natures devise more sinister tools. Invented by dentist Alfred P. Southwick of Buffalo, New York in 1881, the electric chair became known as a humane alternative to hanging since its first use in 1890. Undoubtedly a revelation in the world of invention, the chair provided mankind with an instrument of control over two of the greatest and most terrifying powers of nature, electricity and death. Of course, sometimes control is only an illusion. The very walls we build for protection may reveal themselves as a trap of our own making. We at Fireside Mystery Theater present the following story without prejudice or agenda. Our tales of the electric chair are not meant to condemn nor condone. Rather, they are meant as an expression of our persistent exploration of the dark and unsettling, and are presented without further comment for your entertainment and consideration. Guilty as Charged was recorded live at the Slipper Room on May 27, 2018. It was part of our show, The Electric Chair. The name, Tan Jacobs, age 35 years old. The crime, kidnapping and murder. Today, he takes the walk. His choice of last meal, nothing.
What people on the outside don't understand is that running a prison is a science. A very precise science. There are rules, of course, but there are also schedules to be adhered to. And as the warden, it's my job to make sure any disruption is avoided at all costs. Every day I'm dealing with hundreds of volatile elements, each of them capable of completely destroying the system in his own way. I'm not just referring to the inmates. They're probably the easiest to handle when it comes right down to it. For the most part, they're predictable. Keep them on schedule, in a routine. Even the most highly unstable can be safely contained when all outside variables are controlled. But in reality, the only thing you can count on is the random, the unplanned. So much of what we can't understand or control accounts for this microcosm of society. It terrifies us, so we lock it away, try to make it make sense. But to anyone outside who's never been on the inside, it's just that it can't make sense. All they know for sure is that they don't want in and they don't want anyone coming out.
I spend a lot of time on the road, listening to books on tape, dictate, whatever. Gives me a little more time, maybe too much time with too much information. You wanted me to comment on my experience with the death penalty. As a prosecutor and as a judge, well, Shakespeare's Henry V said, "The duty belongs to the king, but every man's conscience is his own." I never really had any deep moral qualms about the death penalty. And I don't think you can make too much of an analytical argument in terms of the death penalty as a deterrent from crime, or whether there's too much disparity in the way it's dealt out. We'll leave that to the social scientists and professors and all, but for prosecutors and judges, the only question is this. Is it a just sentence in this case? Is it just? Is it justified in this particular case? That's all you have to answer. Does the punishment fit the crime? It seems simple, but simple doesn't mean easy. But in all my years of contemplating the problematic nature of the death penalty, the one question I never considered was this. What if the punishment fits the crime too well?
My point is this is a prison for prisoners, for those who were too dangerous to be kept in a lower security facility. They've been there, and as a result, other inmates were murdered. Guards were murdered. When a man kills another man on the outside, then kills two other men on the inside, then he comes here and kills again, if I let him out, if he gets parole, and he does it again, well, that's on me, isn't it? My opinion on the death penalty doesn't matter, and I'm not going to share it with you today. Forgiveness isn't an option. Second, third, fourth chances aren't an option. Forgiveness and chances aren't my job. Carrying out the law is. And I think Tan Jacobs knew that. I think he was counting on it.
How are we doing in here? Relax, my dear. The water isn't too hot, is it? No. Feels good. Here, looks like it's about to overflow. Oh, don't worry. I've got it. There we go. Perfect. Don't want it to get too full. You'll fall asleep and drown. And I just found you. I'm not ready to lose you now or ever. See? You're safe at last. You can relax. Even turned off the TV. No news is good news, right? And no noise is good noise. Finally, away from that loud, god-awful bar and all the trash that comes along with that setting. Cheap brawls, cheap booze, cheap broads. Present company excluded, of course. No. I knew you were different the moment I set eyes on you in the neon light. The way you seemed to glow yourself, outside and in. It was worth it to put up with all that rabble for a couple of hours to be back here with you. Relaxing, talking, finally quiet, getting to know each other. Though I feel like I've known you my whole life. I don't want you to think this is a thing that I do on a regular basis. Some dime store Casanova coming on to strange women in bars. No, I promise. All I really want right now is to be here with you, where we can relax and talk for a while. Whoa, hey, it's okay. Spooked me too for a second, I confess. I'm a little jumpy. It's been my nature since, well, since some weather, huh? It's all bark and no bite, though. Really, I love this weather. These storms. Ever since I was a kid. Bet you like them too, huh? Yeah, I could tell. I could just tell that you get it. You're fearless. Not like those others. They're all afraid deep inside. And maybe they should be. They weren't chosen after all. Not like me. Do you remember your first storm like this? That first feeling of your hair standing on end? Baby fine. Charged with static and energy. Sure, you know what I mean. Just like tonight. Always puts me in a reflective mind. Most people, they hate these storms. I know, but to me, they're a reminder of the best day of my life.
Signs, signals, they're important to the inmates. Gives them a sense of control, of manipulating the situation. Some of it is relatively harmless, but I keep a sharp eye out. I can look out in the yard right now and tell you just from the way that someone's standing, from the way he holds his hands, from the way he looks me in the eye or doesn't, I can tell you from that what's about to happen. There's always some kind of sign. You just have to learn how to read them the way they do.
Thank you. I'm here, Ma.
Where have you been hiding, you lazy bum? I've been calling for you all morning, it seems like. You're nowhere to be found when there's work to be done. Typical. No, that's fine. Just leave it all to me. Work myself to death, that's just fine.
I'm sorry, Ma. I'm here.
Yeah, and what good does that do me? None. Nothing. Can't even scrub a floor right. Look at this spot. You know what'll happen to you when your father sees this!
Ow! Stop! Stop! You're hurting me!
Oh, you don't know what hurting is! You got a roof over your head, food, a family, you ungrateful little cuss! Your father is a respected man, and all you do is shame him and me! I don't know what I ever did to deserve all this. Lord, answer me.
Please calm down, Ma. Please, it's okay. It's...
Afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Storm's getting heavier. Could hardly make it back from town.
I'm glad you're back safe, sir.
The Lord watches, provides, and protects, Tan. Those who are his chosen may walk without fear. It's been a long while, Mother.
Yes.
2 months of wandering, spreading the word. Let me look at you and the boy.
He's not grown an inch, skinny as a weed. It's no help at all. He's too sickly to be any good around here. He's a curse.
Ma, please.
Hush. Both of y'all. Stand straight, Tan. Closer now. Mother's right. Barely an ounce of flesh on you. The Lord hasn't seen fit to nourish this vessel.
Sir, please don't.
This impure frame, weak flesh. I had hoped temptation and evil would fly from you in my absence. I see it's only flourished, feeding off your frail, mortal vessel.
Please, Daddy. I don't like that.
Little liar. He likes it fine. Look at him. Nasty, filthy boy.
Behold! He spreads his lightning about him, and he covers the depths of the sea. For by these he judges people. He covers his hands with the lightning and commands it to strike them off!
Yes, lethal injection is now the default method of death penalty execution in this state. However, the electric chair is still a viable option in some instances. For those death row inmates who were sentenced on or before May 31st, 1998, they can choose death by electric chair instead of lethal injection. Most don't seem to have too much of an opinion on the matter by the time their sentence is finally up to be served. You have to remember, most of these men have been waiting for years on death row while their cases undergo appeal after appeal. I distinctly remember one man who was asked what he preferred, death by lethal injection or electric chair. He responded, "Well, what did the jury say?" The jury had sentenced him to death by electric chair. So he decided, all right, they said the chair, let's do the chair. For the majority, there's this morbidly general malaise when it comes to deciding on method of execution. But there are exceptions. Tan Jacobs was an exception.
Still comfy in there, my dear? Want me to heat up the water for you? No? Okay, then. As I was saying, everything was obliterated in that freak lightning strike. The house, my mother, my father. All you see but me. I survived. And not only did I survive, I grew stronger. I must have shot up a foot and put on 100 pounds that next year. Muscle, size, and strength. And I was fast, quick like, well, you know, like lightning. And I was free. Free from that horrible, insignificant life on the farm. From my own physical weakness. And as soon as I woke up from the accident, I took one look around and started to walk toward the city. But though I was stronger of body, my mind was still weak, childish. They caught me one day hiding out in the back storage room of a repair store. I was living with the rats, conducting a series of experiments on them with the wiring and batteries found on the shelves. And suddenly I found myself trapped again, this time in the city's most notorious juvenile psychiatric hospital. The doctors evaluated me and came to what they thought was a proper decision at the time. Some might consider their decided method of treatment a bit ironic.
Are we ready to proceed, nurse?
Yes, doctor. The electrodes have all been properly placed and the patient is secured.
Very well. Given his history, we've decided to give him a higher voltage. Nurse, charge us up to 3/4 power.
Charged to 3/4, doctor.
Good. Ready for activation? And now.
Doctor, what should I do?
It's not enough. 4. Give him full power.
Doctor!
I said full power!
I believe they expected the electric shock therapy to normalize me, or even to mentally cripple me. That so-called doctor was no better than me as a child, playing with the batteries and the storeroom rats. Worse even, for lacking that childhood innocence and making up for it with malicious, power-driven intent. But the doctor did not realize the forces he was reckoning with. Like the lightning bolt that killed my hideous parents, but gave me the gift of impressive physical strength and agility, the machine's intense electrical charge left me not only completely unscathed, but with a renewed and improved intellectual vigor and capacity. I found myself comprehending things that before seemed baffling to me, and engaging in long, deep sessions of meditation on my life, my purpose. This running theme could not be ignored. I was chosen not one time, but 2, by this great electric power to be strengthened, enhanced, and freed. Surely a deeper meaning was there. Oh, by the way, the hospital? The electric charge the doctor ordered proved too much for its old wiring, I suppose. It burned down to the ground.
Once a month, the staff and I do a rehearsal run, start to finish. They alternate the roles of portraying themselves, the technicians, the executioners, and the condemned. We go through every step of the whole execution process, except, of course, putting power through the chair. I have a script that I go through, step by step, and I see to it that we cover it all each time. You've seen that movie, The Green Mile? The scene where the execution goes wrong because someone didn't wet the sponge that is applied to the condemned's head to conduct electricity into the body. That does not happen here. The sponge gets wet every time. That would not happen here. We don't miss details. There are no accidents. They don't happen.
But listen to me. Here I am, talking your ear off, you poor dear. You must be starting to prune up in that tub. Don't worry. Bath time is almost over. Oh, how timely. We've been so focused on each other here The outside world just completely slipped away. And would that it could forever, my dear. We could just be here together in our own little bubble. Sadly, reality awaits. Let's see if there are any updates since we last checked in with the local news station, shall we?
I'll have confirmation on the kidnapping victim's identity. 32-year-old Cassie Riley was last seen at O'Hanlon's Bar on Ditmars Avenue at 8 p.m. this evening and is said to have left with the suspect, 35-year-old Tan Jacobs. I'm being told that Mr. Jacobs and the victim have been tracked to a small hotel just outside of town and police are on their way to attempt negotiations. No prior relationship between the two has been established, and authorities are still working to determine any motive for this act that Mr. Jacobs might have.
Motive? As if they could possibly understand, right, my dear? One has to know that feeling, that experience of being hit with an electric jolt, struck by lightning. And that's how I felt tonight when I looked across the room at you. And I know you felt it too. That's why I brought you here, so we can be together forever. You see, I realized there was a third, final door to be unlocked. Electricity gave me physical power in that lightning strike. The electrotherapy enhanced my powers of thought. Body, mind, and what's left? Spirit, of course. You are already bright and strong. I think you're the perfect choice to make the trip with me. What do you say? What's that? I'm sorry, I can't quite understand you with that tape on your mouth. Whoa, just a minute now. I'm excited too. Hey, we're famous. Want to see what's going on? Here, I'll bring the television closer to the tub for you. Very relaxing, right? Hey, I promise you'll love it. And I'll be there with you soon. Trust me. I'll make sure they take care of me soon. Are you ready, dear?
It is impossible to tell how this situation is going to play out, but the story has already shocked the media and the general.
See you in immortality, baby!
Mr. Jacobs was brought before me for sentencing, and there wasn't much to debate. He pled guilty, first-degree murder. That poor gal didn't have a hope. When they fished her out of that hotel bathtub, there was hardly enough left to piece together. Tan showed no sign of remorse. There was no attempt at a plea bargain. Yeah, maybe I should have known then that something was out of the ordinary, but then again, how could I have, really? When I judge a case, all I have before me are the indisputable facts of reality. Unfortunately, I can't know what truly lies in the hearts and souls of man. If I could have truly known Tan Jacobs' mind, maybe I would have done differently. Then again, maybe I wouldn't. The fact remains that Tan Jacobs was guilty of murder, and so I gave him a sentence fitting the crime: death by electrocution.
What happened the night of the execution was a coincidence. You'll never hear me say otherwise. Whatever I think, what I believe or wonder, it doesn't matter. And I wouldn't get into that with you here. The operation of this facility absolutely depends on order, structure, consistency. There is no room for strange outliers or conjecture. We did everything according to the same procedure we follow for every execution. The same order of operations we follow every single month. Tan Jacobs was strapped to the chair, the sponge was wet, and the electricity that passed through his body should have ensured his death. And when it was over, he appeared to be dead. But he wasn't. Doctors aren't allowed to take part in the execution process in any way, what with the Hippocratic Oath and all. But we keep one on hand in case of emergencies. When he confirmed that Tan Jacobs' heart was still beating, they rushed him off the scene to receive emergency treatment. That's protocol. If the condemned somehow survives the execution, every attempt is made to save his life. It may seem strange, but it's the way it's done.
Not long after, they took him off life support. It was in his will that they do so, in fact, but he still didn't die. His body showed vital signs as strong as ever. EEG showed plenty of brain activity. When you're in the room with him, there's a definite presence. I visited him just the other day, in fact, 20 years later. And except for a few gray hairs, not looking much older, still he's there, smiling. No, he doesn't need the wires and the machines to keep him alive anymore. He got enough electricity throughout his life, I suppose. I don't know. I think about it every day, just about. Does the punishment fit the crime? Is it just? Those are the questions I ask myself when deciding on a sentence, and the best answers I can hope for rely on my own experience. But sometimes I wonder. I wonder if I was truly a judge in this case at all, or just a tool, a cog in Tan's overall plan. I wonder if maybe Tan Jacobs didn't have the answer after all, and he judged us, found us wanting, and sentenced us to look on in wonder and burning curiosity as he lives on in a sentence of his own choosing, silent, ever youthful, and smiling.
Let him see. with a song I used to hear. Make my old memories come alive. Take me back home and turn back the years. Sing me back home before I die. Sing me back home before I die.
And that was Guilty as Charged. The warden was played by James Reeser. The judge was played by David Linton. Tan Jacobs was played by James Kleinman. Father Jacobs was played by Michael Pate. Young Tan Jacobs was played by Mary Murphy. The doctor was played by Eric Davey Gislason. The nurse and the victim were played by Casey LaForest. The announcer was played by Alan LaForest. And the part of Ma Jacobs was played by me, Allie Silva. The song Sing Me Back Home was written by Merle Haggard. It was performed by Karen Tennyson, accompanied by Noel Carey. Guilty as Charged was written by Courtney Gillian Cholovich. It was directed by Ali Silva and Gustavo Rodriguez. The Electric Chair was produced by Gustavo Rodriguez, Daniel and Rebecca Graves, and me for Fireside Mystery Productions. Research by Courtney Gillian Cholovich provided fodder for our stories, with special thanks to Kentucky Supreme Court Justice Bill Cunningham and the staff of the Kentucky State Penitentiary. Jason Graves composed our theme music. Our musical score was improvised by Noel Carey. Our sound effects designer and engineer is Greg Russ. Our technical director at the Slipper Room is Johnny Goddard. And our production coordinator is Brontis Shane Orengo. Are you amazed? Fireside crazed? Want to shout out about what you heard today? Itching for the next story? Just can't get enough of that good fireside stuff? Well, we hope you'll take a quick moment to give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Your feedback does a lot to keep the lifeblood flowing for our little production company. And if you haven't yet, go ahead and subscribe. You can see what we really look like when you find us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram or Twitter with our handle @FiresideMystery. And hey, we just set up our very own Patreon page. We're still working out the rewards, bonus content, and all that good stuff, so please bear with us on that. But if you like what we do and want us to keep doing it as much as we want to keep doing it, why not think about becoming our very own Patreon patron? Go to patreon.com/firesidemysterytheater. And we must shout it from the hilltops, a great big thank you to our very first Patreon patron, the amazing Mr. Jeffrey Goldman. Good sir, we are so very grateful for your generous support. You can also share your love and support for Fireside with your friends and look fabulous doing it, darling. We have lots of Fireside Mystery Theater swag you can score for yourself or for the dear FMT fan in your life. T-shirts, hoodies, pillows, totes, mugs, notebooks, stickers, all sorts of cool kit with our logo. Lots of great sales pop up all the time. Just go to firesidemysterytheater.com/merch and browse the goods. Even purveyors of the mysterious need a break every once in a while, so our live show season is currently on summer holiday. But fret not, we'll be releasing content from the season we just wrapped all summer long. Also, as we lead up to our next season of live shows, we shall return to our popular series, The Midnight Reading of Dark Literary Classics. Your fireside fix is always just one click away wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be returning to the Slipper Room in our live and lovely glory with a whole new season of stories starting on Sunday, October 21st. Be on the lookout for tickets on sale at slipperroom.com. Hey, stay tuned for the next podcast episode in our series we call The Electric Chair. Things heat up and sparks might fly. Sparks of anger, sparks of lust, sparks of imagination and fear. And in the case of our next story, the spark of a final sentence. This is your own Allie Silva. Don't you forget that even when the lights above are so bright, when you don't even dare to dim the cold glow from your phone, there is always the darkness. mind the shadows,